Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Indeed, I am here. And thank you, Dude Walker. And thank you, Americans, for tuning in to BotMos, the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to hang with some great listeners at Jimmy's Old Town Tavern, and they actually referred to the show as BotMos. See? It's sticking. It's working. Keep it up, folks. BotMos, best of the Mike O'Mara Show. We're going to take a week this week, but don't you worry. Every day, including Friday, we'll have a brand new episode of great moments, hand-selected and curated by me, your old buddy Rob. And if I don't laugh, they don't make it. All right. That's what we're saying. I'm going to stick to it. Lots of good stuff today, including an interview with Colin Mochrie from Whose Line Is It Anyway, a nostalgia corner. And this way that we start is just so great. Oscar's mom. Now, we all love our parents, and family is very important to everyone on our show, but there's something extra special about Yoli Zabaios. And this is going back a few years when there was some civil unrest in Bolivia, but she had flown to Bolivia to go to her 50th high school reunion and ended up getting stuck there. So we hear about her trip back and her opinions on world politics and Oscar being an opportunista. Check it out. It is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
You know, it's just it's really amazing when you think about how lucky we are in this country, even with all the divisiveness and all the turmoil. There are other places where they're marching in the streets and people are being thrown in jail and there are military coups. And one of those countries is Bolivia.
Yes.
And last week,
love it or leave it, Mike, I left it.
That the Oscar's mom and dad were down in Bolivia when all the unrest occurred, and they have successfully made it out, which is, I think, a very, very good thing, fortunately.
What was that Ben Affleck movie when you had to get out the hostages?
Oh gosh, the one in Iran.
Argo.
Argo.
Loved that movie.
Yes.
Loved that movie. John Goodman.
Great movie.
Now,
one of the better movies that Ben Affleck has done.
Fortunately, no hostages that I know of, Mike, but this is more like a bargo with Bolivia.
A bargo?
Yes,
a bargo?
Yes.
What is a bargo?
The way they had to get my parents out of this war-torn country.
Wow. And, you know, and I mean, planes leave the airport, right? It wasn't life and death, but...
Well, they didn't have fuel to leave the airport.
That's what it was. They had the plane, but the fuel was on another plane, right?
The fuel couldn't get to the airport because of all the protests. And the fuel couldn't, and the supplies could not arrive to the actual airport because of the protests.
Well, this is not going to be a Larry King call.
I told my mom, Señor Mike tiene que llamar.
Señor
Mike needs to call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That we're going to talk to your mom. Let's get her on the phone right
write
now.
Write her up.
I really think this is good. What are you playing?
She's an American citizen.
That's a Bolivian national anthem?
No, she's an American.
This is about America,
This is about
Mike.
How America's great, and she's back in America.
Well, I'll let you
leave.
Hi, Mom.
Mrs. Zabaios, hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. It's so nice to have you on the show. You know how wonderful and popular your son is with our listeners, and we love to have you on the show. How are you? Welcome home. I know it was tough
Welcome
for
back
you.
To America, Mom.
Welcome back to America.
Thank you so much. You don't imagine how happy I am.
I bet it was hard. I mean, Oscar was telling us the story of you and Mr. Zabaios trying to get out of Bolivia and how difficult it was. And you must have been very shocked when you got down there in the middle of all that turmoil.
Yes, it was. And then it was a surprise for me because, but the trouble is, we want to come out, we had to sleep 2 days, 2 nights in the airport. One in La Paz, because we cannot make it go down because maybe we don't have the chance to come back again because the rebels, they were around.
The rebels.
Yeah. Wow. A lot of people
like
have.
Red Dawn.
A lot of people have bad high school reunions, but this was really a bad one, wasn't it?
Were you able to see any of your classmates while you were down there?
Yes, because I had to travel from La Paz to another city, a small town, you know, another state. And then really I see it, but take me almost 3 weeks to make it because I go, I come down. I go to the airport, Alto.
Mm-hmm.
I had to come back because they don't let you go. The taxista, they don't know how to go. They know all the road.
The roads are blocked.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The roads are blocked, yes.
So you spent 2 days in airports trying to get back here. You flew from La Paz?
3 days.
Three days. Tonight, I sleep in the airport.
You slept in the airport 3 days. You went from La Paz to Colombia?
In Colombia, I sleep one night, too.
In another airport.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's another problem in Colombia.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as your friends and family members down in Bolivia, how are they feeling about the situation down there? What are they going through?
They going through hell because the problem is we don't have a food, we don't have a meat, we don't have all the food. The food is on the road. They are damaging because they don't let them get in the city.
What about cheese, Mom? Cheese is very important to the team here. What about cheese? Do they have cheese?
We don't have anything.
Oh.
When do they think with the – and because the roads are blocked and the transportation –
The road is blocked from the Alto. It's the only way you go down to the city.
It's terrifying.
You take it. And then in the road, the other state, they are blocked too.
Doesn't that really speak to bad infrastructure, Mom, not just the rebels, that there's one way in and one way out?
Yeah, no, but the problem is that the country is down that way. If they don't want you go that way, they block you.
It's
they
so great. You. Oscar
I'm
is
trying
really,
to do a serious interview with his
and
mother.
He's got,
and
he's made Bolivia like the stadium that the Redskins play in. He says, this is so poorly designed. There's only one way in, one way out. No wonder traffic is bad.
They make you pay for parking and everything.
It's a beautiful country. The only thing is the way how the politicians, they are doing this thing, you know, social problem.
It's always that way.
Quick sidebar. Mom, do you remember that Senor Cook, Jack Kent Cook, his wife, Marlena, was Bolivian. Do you remember that? And she was embarrassing to us Bolivians because she was all over the Jaguar in Georgetown.
Yeah, crawling on the hood. All over the car, being a little naughty girl and all that. I remember that.
But the trouble is a few people so frivolous, you know? Frivolous.
Frivolous culture.
Yes. When you have education, senor, this is not happening. Doesn't matter where you become, it's very important for me, education and health.
Yeah.
You don't need
it.
My
family.
Country right now is very united. Doesn't matter you are indigenous or not indigenous. We had to go together in this problem. We cannot go alone.
Si se puede, Mom. Si se puede.
What is that? What is si se puede?
Yes, we can, Mike. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yeah.
There's so many things. Si se puede. Believe me or not. This is only we need to be love each other in my country.
Mrs. Ceballos, do you know I find your son very entertaining?
He's very entertaining, but he's
and
also
unpredictable.
Also a little brat. He's a little brat. He's being a little brat.
Mom, I love you. You made me watch all those videos, videos when I saw you guys.
I showed them. I take them to my country when they were little. They show to show the country how. Where is the country? Who are they becoming?
Where we come from. You're right, Mom.
He ought to remember that.
Are you kidding me? That's why I love this country, Mike. I bleed red, white, and blue.
It's not the answer I'm looking for.
Okay,
it's why you ought to value where you come
from. It's the one he prepared,
from.
Though.
Oh. That's the one he wants. Yeah. That's the one he
yes,
thinks is the
can.
Right answer.
Spanish, yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
I love
we
America.
Can
that's the one. I'm talking about your history. She's talking about your roots.
Mike, we went to the Incan temples. I know where we came from.
That's right.
You're taking this lightly. I'm curious about the future of your homeland.
The floor is yours. I'm sorry.
They will be fine. They will be fine because the young people, they are very good. They are smart people, the young people. This new generation, the 30 years down, they will be the future for my country because they are very strong. They are very good people.
Good. And you were saying that the indigenous people and the other people of Bolivia need to come together. And
yes.
Need to, right? That's what you were saying?
We need to be together. That's in my where we come from, honey. That this thing, from the when the war was done for my country was formed, we, some way or another, we have something. We have to be together.
Mom.
Love.
Do you mind playing the Starship? Thank you. Mom, isn't it technically it was your country because now you're a citizen. So this is your country technically now.
Yeah, it is, but that's in my blood, honey.
That's because we went and we
and
got naturalized.
And your blood, Oscar.
That's
and
right.
Your blood.
50-50 at this point.
Mrs. Ceballos, as we look forward to the future, I know that one of the former leaders has set up a shadow government in Mexico. Do you see this as a good idea, a bad idea? Can it be effective?
Bad idea.
Bad idea. Why?
Bad idea. Bad Wi-Fi?
Why?
Yes, why? Por qué?
Yeah, why? Because Mexico cannot do those things.
Mexico
has to be smarter than he is doing now, this stupid thing with my president, giving the asylum, then he can talk anything from there, putting the base high. Fighting and killing. Mexico cannot do this.
Mom, what are your thoughts on a woman president? We have a female president in Bolivia.
We have the president
acting
right now.
President.
She is great. She's smart. She has a career. She knows what she's doing. We go to with the law. We don't break in the law.
No. That's a good
she's
sign.
By the way, she's the interim president of Bolivia right now.
Yes.
And she has pledged
90 days.
Free election. There's a lot of debate as to whether the elections will be able to be held. Do you believe that the elections are going to be able to be held?
Maybe in 120 days or less. They cannot do it that quickly. No, they cannot do it that fast. Mm-hmm. She's doing the best. She's doing the great job right now for the country. She doesn't have a choice.
Right.
That is the reason the Constitution is working with her.
Yes.
I'm curious.
We need to give a little more support, the world, or sea, the country, South American country, all that, or around the world, America too. This, they can help you maybe if they cannot do it in 100 days, in 100...
Can I say something?
Please. It can be 6 months, but we need a new election because you cannot go past, I want to be president and then steal the election.
Yeah, just Señor Mike needs to talk now. I appreciate your passion, but Señor Mike.
Rob was going to ask a question, but you know what? Reading about World War II and the country of Hungary, which was a small country very similar to Bolivia, where we just didn't pay attention, especially when there was a revolution in Hungary against the Soviet Union, which happened very after World War II. And these small countries in America, they don't get the attention that they deserve. They don't get they don't make the big splash. The big splash are Russia, China, Iraq, Iran. That's what we hear about. We never hear about these guys. So by and large, if we didn't have Oscar on this show, I wouldn't even be aware of what's going on in Bolivia right now. And the American people are not aware of what's going on
in Bolivia. A
media
blackout.
Right? I mean, do you agree, Oscar? I'm serious.
I agree. And that we were looking, I say, an American citizen, and this is going on. I don't know. I can't believe America don't say nothing.
That's amazing to me, too, because it's a real, real problem down there. We know a lot more about Venezuela and countries like that than we do about Bolivia. And
but
this
we
is
don't
want
to come like Venezuela.
No,
this president go through hell with us, with the country. Then we will finish like Venezuela and eating in the trash can. Yeah.
It's a sad situation there, Mom. Over Thanksgiving, I know that you have Amazon Prime because you're an online shopper. We will we will watch Jack Ryan, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan season 2, which is about a fallen government in Latin America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually been I've been following that.
Yeah.
And it's similar.
Scary.
You were going to say something.
I have a
Rob
question, Mrs. Ceballos. I know you were born in Bolivia and you came to the United States. Did you stay there long enough? Did you ever vote when you lived in Bolivia?
I voted once because the next time I don't want to vote because my vote don't count.
Yes.
So you felt even back then that the elections were rigged or crooked or somehow not on the level?
Yes. No, with this president, with other president, you know. But with this president, is maybe the 3 election or 4 election now where he was going through, it was stalled.
Yeah.
Is that a common feeling down there, that the vote doesn't matter?
This, for me, is that generation when my mom say, we have to go to vote, mom. No, para que si, why I have to be the step of these people? O sea, la escalera, Oscar.
She doesn't want to help build the ladder for those crooks.
I see.
Yeah,
I see.
The corrupt politicians often come into power.
But
let me ask you about your children, Mrs. Ceballos. Of all your children, Who do you think would be the most concerned about the home country of Bolivia?
Will be Oscar.
Thank you.
Will be Jose. But the problem
you gotta pick one of us, Mom. Sophie's choice.
Oscar.
Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Just like we did in rehearsal.
Yes.
I didn't expect this. No, I didn't either. He's not protective.
Mommy, I have another question for you. Wasn't this was also tragic on a personal note. Let's not talk about geopolitical. That you weren't able to bring that extra suitcase full of food because it just wasn't enough to export.
Yes, no. Right? I got the only popcorn.
Popcorn. She only brought the Bolivian popcorn, pasancalla.
Pasancalla.
This is the bio.
We bring early. And then to go to pick up those kind of thing was adventure to go to those places to look for those two little bags, the pasancalla.
The popcorn.
Of all your children, Mrs. Zabaios, which one is most likely to be a bandwagon fan of a winning sports team?
No.
De cualquiera de nosotros los hijos van a encontrar un equipo que está ganando, and then we'll root for them.
No, don't be opportunista.
Opportunista. Opportunista.
What is
an opportunist?
Opportunist. Opportunista. Opportunista. I am remembering that word. I'm going to save that word.
Opportunista.
I love you, Mrs. Zabaios. I'm going to save that word because it's wonderful. Opportunista.
Opportunista. Opportunista.
Will you take advantage?
Yeah. We'll take advantage of a winner.
Well, God bless you for making it back, and you're here. Your family's here. Now it's Thanksgiving at your house. Are you excited about the holiday, having all your children under one roof?
Yes. I am so happy to say, thanks God, I have my family. Thanks God to this three kids and my daughter-in-law. They are really great people.
What about your son-in-law?
Thanks,
my son-in-law, too, because last night they came. Yeah. Right now I'm doing empanada for them before I go out.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Well, I wish you could send some of those down to South Florida because I need to get fatter. I love empanadas.
Is this something that you're willing to talk about with El Señor Larry cuando llama before Christmas?
Yes, I don't have any issue.
Yeah. What about Bill O'Reilly? He's supposed to come on a little before Señor Larry. Do you want to talk to Bill?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who he's from, right? He used to be on Fox News. Ready?
Yes.
Yeah, you're ready for that. Okay.
Okay. All right. She's not a big fan. Is she not a big fan of Fox News?
Mama, you're not a Fox News lady, are you?
No. No.
Me neither. Me neither, Mrs. Zabaios. You and I simpatico. are simpatico.
Do you think your mom would like to speak?
You are wonderful.
Do you think you'd like to speak to the
Donaldo Naranja.
Durazno Naranja.
You think she'd like to say
Donald Naranja. Don't worry about him. I'll tell you
Donald
later.
Donald the Orange, right?
Yeah.
Some citrus fruit.
You're safe.
Yeah, do you think she'd like to speak to the star of HBO's Succession?
I don't think she catches Succession.
Okay,
thank you,
checking.
Robert Cox.
Yeah,
I don't know if
Brian,
that happened.
Brian
Cox. I'm sorry.
Hello, lady.
Okay, mommy, one more thing.
Mommy. Congratulations
before we go.
Making it out of Bolivia.
Okay.
No, not making it all Bolivia. Bolivia is a great country. Welcome to Bolivia. When I am there, you will know.
Mom, you said you're never going back when you landed. You said that to everybody.
10 years from now.
Well, for the reunion. The 60th.
Mom, what was the best part of the 50th reunion outside of the Civil War?
What was the best part?
Yes.
The what?
The best part of seeing your friends after 50 years.
After 50 years?
Yes.
I was a little emotional. You hear the message I talk about. I write it. I forgot the paper. And then I had to have a copy in my telephone, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had to read. The best part was to see them. We getting all together. We're getting all together.
But do you have names? Do you remember the names
los
of some
nombres
of your
de tus amigos.
Los nombres de mis amigos no los conozco todos.
Yeah, pero ¿cuál nombres te recuerdas?
Juanita.
Charo.
Charo.
A very popular singer.
You were a classmate of Charo's?
No. It's
Uchi Kuchi?
Is the name.
Oh, okay.
Orlando,
okay.
Sí. ¿Cuál otra? Pues la otra es, mire, que no tengo ahorita en mi cabeza, me he olvidado de todo.
Can't remember.
I forgot everything with this.
That's okay.
This problem.
It's okay, Mom. You've been
Johnny,
on a lot of
Johnny, Billy, Bernie, they were all there.
Mrs. Zabaios
at
the reunion.
In my generation, the women, they don't finish the high school. They don't finish the university.
Mm.
Was hard time. More controlled by men.
Mami, el señor Mike tiene que hablar now. Mr. Mike, the floor.
Mrs. Zeballos, at your reunion, did you have a band, a DJ,
or a pan flute? We have an orchestra. We have everything. We dance, you know.
That's wonderful.
We have a great food.
Mami, charango was played, maybe?
No, charango, no. I am from the north.
Okay, what about the pan flute? It goes, boo, boo, no, boo,
yes.
Boo.
They have it, but no, it's not that way.
No?
Because in the altiplan, is all that instrument.
It's more folkloric.
I want to make sure that you did not hear the pan flute. Could we hear it one more time, Oscar?
Ay, qué linda. Sí, yes.
There it is all these years.
Beautiful.
That's
that is
wonderful.
Beautiful.
That's delightful. That's delightful. And there was good.
We're working, Mom. We're trying to pay the bills.
Right. That's wonderful. And there was good food at the reunion?
Yes, it was good food. Good people. The world in my state is great. With all these issues, you have a beautiful smile. The weather is great in that area because I am in the Amazonia, Bolivia.
Tropics.
Yeah.
The Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, on behalf of all of us at the show, we love you. We are so glad that you're safe.
Si se puede.
Si se puede.
Si se puede.
Si se puede. Si se puede.
Si se puede. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You know that I love your son. I love working with him. I love having this partnership with him. He's a wonderful young man, and it's great to have him here. And to all of your wonderful family, enjoy each other and have a great Thanksgiving, Mrs. Zeballos.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you guys.
Thank
you for the same thing for the Thanksgiving. Thank you. Gracias.
Thank you.
All right, Mom.
Gracias.
I love you.
Gracias. Adios.
Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
See you later.
You're a monster, Oscar.
Of all your kids, which one likes Jimmy Fallon the most?
There you go.
I thought you had some compelling questions.
No, I thought
I was curious more than you were. Obviously, you got it earlier, and you know. But
if
I
have the wall of texts for my family of what is going on and
what's going on. But ignored, correct me if I'm wrong, ignored by our country. We don't even know about it.
It's not in the news.
My dad actually asked me, because he knows that I'm a news junkie behind the scenes. And he said, how many stories have you seen about Bolivia on CNN or have you seen on NBC, the nightly news? Which is like one of these benchmarks. If it's big enough, it'll
get there. That's where you go. That's your go-to.
Yeah. In the past, I would say 2 months, one story. And the one story was about Evo going and seeking asylum in Mexico. That was
it. Wow. I mean, I'd like to know more. Do you have any, and this is a legitimate question to you, no shtick. I'm asking you, where would one find it? I guess just online?
I think you
look up, Google Bolivia and just find out what's going on.
You got to go to your Reuters. You got to go to your CNN International, BBC. But it's all, and in fairness to the local media, there has been a media blackout from the government up until, let's say, the last week. In Bolivia, where they kicked out all the foreign press, they kicked out anyone that could have been and would be attached to push information out.
That's why this interview was so important.
You know, you're into a lot of things, but I'm thinking during all this, if it gets escalated, arms dealership.
Yes,
you could probably do that. Opportunista, opportunista.
It is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show, Batmos, right here squarely in birthday season. And this is my favorite kind of segment because we're all over the place. We talk about the desolation of Florida. We talk about punctuality. I bet you know who we talk about. And the fact that I, Rob Spiewak, am a monster. Oh yes, it's very true. I'm not what you think I am, especially during a full moon or when Colin Mochrie's about to show up. Check it out. It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yes, I could. Yes, I could go outside and take a picture. You know, I'm talking about before the show started how depressing the Cocoonville landscape is.
Desolate,
because they put poison on the golf course to burn it up so that they can dig it up. And, I still don't get that.
Are you sure it's for the grass and not just to make the people from Indiana go home?
I don't know. They're all leaving.
Or
they're
to kill them
this week. They're all. So it's going to be
lonely.
We've
killed all the Indianians.
So my life down here for the next month will be it will be lonely. There will be no golf, and everyone will be gone. And I will. And I'm here to say, with all the bitching that I've done, that I will ultimately miss these people. I will ultimately. Oh, miss
however,
them.
On the other
because
side
it
of that,
got friendlier
quarter.
Towards the end. It got actual. There was a point of. There was a line of demarcation where the people started being. They were still busting chops, but they were doing so in a much funnier way.
But flip the coin. Good. Is part of it going to be just bliss?
Yeah, well, as far as the traffic and all the stuff when everybody goes down, they go and they leave right after Easter. That's when they all
depends
split.
On where they want to spend the holiday.
That's right. They want to spend the holiday back in Fort Jimmy or wherever the hell they want
Fort
to go.
Jimmy.
You know, in the
Fort,
I don't know. It's,
great way
to Fort there.
Jimmy. Fort Jimmy. Hey, I'm the mayor.
So I was talking about
at
how
an anniversary.
I was talking about how depressed it was to see that, and I said, "I wish I could take the camera outside my little Logitech camera and show you." And Oscar, between bites of his protein bar or whatever the hell he's
sorry.
Eating, goes after arriving at 3 minutes after 9 o'clock, goes, "Why don't you just take a camera outside?" And kind of looks at the camera like this. Yeah. Why don't you just show up for work on time?
You're being a dick. You're being a complete dick. You show up willy-nilly, 9:10, 9:15. No one gives you S, and all I get is S every time I'm 2-3 minutes late.
You mean like today?
Yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yes, you were late.
Well, I'm not talking about yesterday.
And the
we're
day
talking
before
about today.
Then, you were late.
We're talking about today.
Mike lives
would like
now.
Would you like to match
no.
your punctual
most recent history,
with mine?
Though, if we're looking at a trend, I'm up.
You're trending up?
I'm trending up.
Yeah.
No,
look on Facebook. Well, he's trending up.
I'm trending up.
No, I'm not sure where that. Now, when you
as
what
far
is the trend? Where
the trend
what is the trend that you're talking about?
Punctual.
Yeah, this is your punctuality trend. What is the trend? Are we talking about 4 days, or are we talking about 4 weeks?
Let's take
a
snapshot of a snapshot of a week.
A week.
I'm trending
this
up.
Past week.
Hey, you
so
can take a snapshot on your camera.
Week.
Yes.
Yeah. Now listen, when people are chronically late, like Oscar is, there's nothing they hate more
than waiting.
Than waiting for someone else. So he's right about this. He knows when
these
I'm
are
not
the
not
facts.
Sure.
These
there's
are
only
fake
one
news.
Reason. There's only one reason though that I'm late.
Why?
Is because I know you won't be there, or you will have just gotten there, and so you know
you would have
your cancer of tardiness has affected the entire
Bill.
Show.
I'm sure that's the case. Not at all.
I would be willing to do this if we're having
and
you're
this like,
discussion.
Sorry guys, I was doing this. Sorry guys, I was doing that. Sorry guys,
right?
I was doing this. Not
right?
a problem. We'd have said, no problem, Mike. We're good.
Well, now, why do you think it's not a problem? And don't say it's because the show has my name on it and all that. Because
it's your
we
show.
All work collaboratively. But yeah, yes. We don't. It's not run that way.
Yeah, but
it's
Mike,
not run where I'm
hierarchy.
Like I'm the guy and I can do
you're
whatever.
You're the Burger
I
King.
I think one thing really needs to be
what?
Said.
What was
you're
that?
The Burger King?
Don't move
we're
by
the
that,
fries.
Rob. That's pretty good. What's that? What is it?
You're
I'm the Burger King. You're the fries.
The fries. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And that analogy that doesn't
like
work
that.
Because it would be you're the burger.
Yes.
And we're the fries. Even though it's a false analogy, it doesn't even work as an
you got
analogy.
It wrong.
Yes.
That's okay. I liked it for some strange reason.
The one thing that really needs to be said is how punctual I am.
You're great. You're actually
you know what?
Great.
Thank you. You know what? The bet. You know what?
He
and
is,
that is absolutely true.
He's
he is
always
the most
on
punctual
time.
Person. And you know what? Good for you. Good for
good
you.
For
good
you.
For you.
Dilly, dilly.
Good for you for standing up for yourself. Now, listen. If we're having this... If we're having this little discussion,
yes.
And by the way, that's what my mom and dad used to call it. It's a discussion.
We are discussing something.
I would be willing to put up my hard-earned cash for the rest of the year.
That's where we part
all the way
that's
through
where we part ways. I can't do that.
What's that?
I'm not gonna bet. I'm not gonna take a bad bet.
I wouldn't. You're not gonna bet on yourself to be your
no,
to be
no.
on time?
I'll bet on myself to succeed, but not be on time.
Well that's good.
Sometimes
if you succeed, I succeed.
Yes.
At least I really hope so. Mm-hmm. The thing is, if you'd like to, we could do
no,
that.
No, Mike, I
bet
this is
one day of paid parking. For another guy on the show.
You know that I'm always
I've already
up
done
for
that.
A competition.
For free.
I'm always
upsetting him.
I'm months what did he say? What's he he's saying
he
something
said,
on
he said, bet
this
one day of parking for another guy on the show. I said, I've already done that. I just give money $200 a month here and there to pay for parking out of my own pocket. What do you do, Rob?
I pay for parking.
You pay for his parking?
What? Well, no, pay but for you, my parking.
Yes.
Well, can we get back on track?
Yes, I agree. Oscar's late all the time.
Oscar's late all the time.
He is.
And he's giving me a hard time because I was late. Because I was late 2 days this week. And I believe it was 2 days.
I don't keep track, Mike, because you're the boss, you know?
The boss that you just called a dick?
Well, because you called me out for being 3 minutes late and eating a protein bar and being skinny. I'm sorry.
Well,
no, I never mentioned being skinny.
And you know what? Not a lot of people are going to bring that fact up.
I was fat shaming me.
That's right. Can we get Tony Perkins on the phone?
Sorry. I'm not. It's just, you fat shame yourself.
Tony,
you fat shame yourself.
You didn't fat shame me. You called me what I needed to be called, Tubby, and I'll take it. Thank you.
Tubby.
Now,
is your head bigger?
Did you eat yourself? Will you calm down? Will you calm down, please, for just a second?
I'm just eating.
Because it's very difficult when you're out of your car and you walk right in here and it starts. You know, I mean, I've had
that was my entire life.
I've had 45 minutes to get ready and get prepared.
I was watching Roseanne this morning. I thought I had time.
You know, I'm glad you had that. Roseanne is in the news.
Yeah.
And
I had to watch it. I had to watch it. The ratings were so high. I had to watch it this morning.
The Roseanne getting not only record ratings, but getting incredible reviews.
Viewers. I watch it. You, Rob, are a hack. It's a great show.
Rob, you missed
that
one.
That it's
all
back.
Right, so it's still in my machine. I watched 2 minutes of it, and I bailed because I didn't like the first two. So I'll watch it, all right?
It really is. I wanted
She's
to hate
tackling
it.
Tackling the issues of the day.
I wanted to hate it, Mike, so bad.
But he waited, and he was late, and then he watched it.
Show prep. Somebody has to be involved.
Yes. What time were you watching Roseanne this morning?
I started at 8, you know.
To be you.
Fast forward it.
To be you. Yeah. I'd love to be you.
Fast forward through the commercials, DVR.
I was doing show prep for this show. I was doing show prep.
Well, you get up and you prep the way Rocky does. You eat the raw eggs.
I was prepping my interview with our guest. By the way, we're going to have a guest on the show later on this morning. We are going to be speaking with Colin Mochrie. He of the Whose Line Is It Anyway fame.
Yes.
My favorite guy, by the way.
Oh, he's great.
Whose Line Is It Anyway.
So funny.
You might remember him as the, I don't want to use a Fargo line, but he's the bald guy. Kind of funny looking. He's coming on.
Only
on
didn't call
show.
Him a jerk.
By the way, everybody in the audience that ever watched that show knows who I just talked about.
Of course.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's the only way you could describe
Big win.
Him. But anyway, getting back, where the hell were we? I'm getting tired.
You are the boss.
You were up early show prepping two programs and he was watching a sitcom.
To go even further back, this started with Oscar saying, why don't you go take a picture? Which meant leave the studio and go out and take it. And he's absolutely right. I could take a picture. But you know what? I'm not going to provide you with visual aids for this show. It's just not always going to happen. That's it. But
he kind of painted the picture as or the image of you taking the photograph that you would involve putting a blanket over your head and holding up a big flash thing. That's you taking a picture. Exactly. Like Matthew Brady. When in fact, it was simply just a snapshot on your smartphone. That's all we
require.
You
know, though, I have taken the scenic vistas from that area, and I've got many of them in my phone, and perhaps I'll do another one. Let me simply tell you that it is desolate. It is brown. It is dead grass.
Looks like a Roadrunner cartoon.
It looks like a Roadrunner cartoon.
Wow.
It's that barren, and it's getting.
I lived in Phoenix, Mike, for roughly a year and a half. And
just like that, just like
he was supposed to live there for 2 years, but he got there 6 months late.
Now the station flipped.
What's that like?
Mike, we've been through three of them, so we know
more flips than Mary Lou Retton.
I've been through two.
Hey, hey, listen. Yeah, Jack. Take a look at that fax that just came through.
Oh,
yeah, those
no.
are the liners for the new radio station that you're on.
Oh, it's happening again. Thank you. It's always done in a very sneaky way.
Yeah.
Air personalities last to know. Yes,
sir. I remember living in Arizona and not coming home for roughly 7 months and then coming back and seeing green.
Yeah.
And remembering how wonderful it is to see,
it kind of gives you a little.
You're like,
it gives you a little something, something when you
so
see the green.
Yeah,
yeah. I have found myself being out there and fantasizing about what it would be like to have a lush green tropical environment, which I moved down here for.
That's the reason you're there.
Know?
They took one of the main reasons you moved there, and they took it away.
Well, then the hurricane has also uprooted all the
trees.
So the uprooted trees are down here. It's
barren,
like
Mike.
I feel like I'm shooting an episode of Mad Max.
Oh my God. You're Fury Road?
It's really, really not pleasant. It's not pleasant. But
Who runs Border Town?
The good news is that I'm going to leave. Who run Border Town? Master Blaster.
Louder.
Lift louder. Master Blaster. What is it? Lift Embargo.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What a great movie. Really, what a great movie.
Classic.
Yeah. And that was the sequel, right?
That yeah, was I believe Mad that Max, was Beyond Thunderdome. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Beyond Thunderdome with Tina Turner.
Break yes. the wheel. What is it? Break the deal, get the wheel.
Break the deal, the get the wheel.
Nice.
Pony really that perks up awesome. When we talk about
it's
that
a great movie.
He smiles. I don't think he should smile that much for Mad Max 2 Beyond Thunderdome.
It's like Fantasia to him.
Yeah.
What was the. Did you like. Did you like
Toy
the
Story?
Remake?
Is that your Toy Story?
Yeah, did you like the remake of Mad Max?
Fury Road was pretty good, but nothing beats the goofiness of Beyond Thunderdome. It's just so weird. And seeing
it's
Tina
so
Turner
weird. And the original, I don't think the original Mad Max, I think there's no comparison. The original Mad Max, yeah. mm-hmm. so much better and so frenetic, the remake. Mm-hmm. So much
yeah.
CGI.
Weird and...
Just weird CGI, and it was just, wasn't Charlize Theron in the remake?
And also Elvis's granddaughter was in the remake,
yeah,
too. Danny
so.
Keough, I think her name is. Or Riley Keough, something
was
like that.
Was she an extra? Or
no, she was featured. She's featured.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Doesn't look much like her old man. Yeah, speaking of weird CGI, I have to bring this up. For some reason, Rob Ford is not wearing his glasses today, and it's really off-putting.
Well, you're going to... you know what? You should ask him why.
Did he come in for a minute and look
absolutely.
At the camera?
Yeah.
Because we're having this kind of contentious morning. It's always good to bring
you're
him
You're
going
to love that you yeah. asked.
Really?
Yes.
Because it's kind of like...
This is also a window into the soul of who Rob really is.
Rob Ford or Rob Spiewak?
Rob Spiewak.
Okay.
Listeners, the person you think is so lovable and doughy and nice.
Oh, no. When is this going to be something really horrible?
When you hear what...
See, I don't even want that.
Okay, would you say hi to Mike on the camera there? There you go.
Hi, Rofo.
Hello, Mike.
Have a seat for a second. We need to talk to you.
Rofo, they don't know anything about
no,
anything.
No, hey, don't do they. You manipulating
no.
little prick.
No.
Don't do they
I have
when
a
it's
question.
Him.
I have a question
when
for
you're
you.
Trying to influence and corrupt the minds of everybody in your jet stream, you little Bolivian bastard.
And by the way, him has a name. Him is Rob, and it is me. And
to
I have
me.
A question
Rofo,
for you.
Rofo, yes. Rob wanted you to come in.
I did.
He did. Okay.
I
Rofo,
fought
I
for
swear
it.
To God, I did.
They
I
said,
didn't
"Don't
do it."
He said he that Rob said he basically was making fun of you while you're hard at work.
No,
in another
room. That's really sort of a half truth. I just said that you came in today, and I saw you as you came off the elevator, and we had nice conversation. But I found it off putting that you're not wearing your glasses.
Yes,
you look different.
I do, yeah.
And I'm not accustomed to it.
I'm not either.
And I'm curious as to why you're not wearing your glasses today. Did you have corrective surgery?
I did not have corrective surgery.
What happened?
I lost my glasses.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Yes. Mm.
How?
I was in a car accident on Monday.
Oh, no.
Wow. Yes.
What, a bad one?
Yeah, car was totaled.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Oh, my. Wait a minute. Your car was totaled?
Yes. Yeah, the car was totaled. A company vehicle, if you remember. Those who
followed
along.
Anybody hurt, Rofo?
Well, you don't look that great. Yeah, I mean, actually forced them to come in to work. We had clients. I said, look, shake it off for a day. You got to get back in here. No,
really?
I was rear-ended, so I'm feeling the results of that a little bit.
Your truck was tore up pretty bad.
Yeah.
Send your text. Can you send that to me, please?
I sent it to you already. Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, you know what he did? He took a picture.
Great thought.
The guy was going 85 miles an hour and rammed into Rofo.
Jeez.
Yes.
Wow. And your glasses got knocked off?
I don't know where they were. I just wasn't ever able to find them.
Man, Rofo, all I can say is, Rofo, I can say I'm glad you were in that size vehicle because you might have been messed up.
Yeah, so was I, for sure. Yeah. Makes you really think about life.
And you had your seatbelt on?
Yeah, I did.
Did the airbags explode?
No airbags.
No it's
airbags.
A classic.
No airbags in the car.
Classic.
No, they were there. They just didn't go off, yeah.
Oh, really?
It was rear-ended.
No. But
you seem a little shaken. You seem a little shaken by it still.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Did you bump your head?
I don't think so. I didn't hear
this
anything.
This is where Rob is being a terrible person, Rofo.
No, I'm just asking.
I'm going to let you. I'm excuse
Why
you.
Why did you ask him if he bumped his head? What indication would you have?
Well, if he's.
I don't see anything physical.
I don't want him to feel like he's concussed. And I also don't want to think that he seems a little slow to respond. And also, you would think that
he's a soulless monster, isn't he?
You would think that losing your glasses,
this is your king,
might have something to do with being, you know, like maybe you bumped your head because you forgot about your glasses till after the fact.
No, they were destroyed in the accident.
I just wasn't able to find them. So as far as I'm concerned, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, do you think you got a concussion?
Probably. That's quite the impact.
I don't know. I don't remember hitting my head, and it never hurt. So I don't know.
Yeah, but it's also 2 days after the fact.
That's
you
true.
Know?
That's
yeah.
true.
We're glad you're okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you think in the middle of the, right after the accident, you think you were walking around going,
pull what out? Pull what out?
I was,
you're crazy. You're crazy. Who hit me? Who rear-ended me? Who rear-ended me? Where are my glasses?
What happened to the assailant?
I don't understand. I don't understand.
What happened to the other car?
Yeah.
The other car, basically the front end was completely torn off.
What kind of car was it?
It was a minivan, Chrysler minivan.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh,
so another large vehicle?
Larger vehicle,
yes.
Oh,
yes.
But not a lot of space in the front. Were the people hurt?
She was taken immediately in an ambulance, and I really don't know what happened after that.
Man.
Wow. I hope she's okay.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, that's, for sure. That's
and I'm glad you're okay.
But not your
Thank
fault,
you.
Pal.
Thank you.
You know?
Yeah. Not your fault.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't your fault, right? It was. You didn't like jam your brakes on it.
No.
Yeah, looking for insurance?
No.
Bait them into an accident?
When did this happen? Are you uptight about talking about it a little bit?
No, he's just setting up for a broadcast. That's why he's
It was Monday, a little bit before 5 p.m., and I was traveling I-95 north about to exit onto 495 north.
Oof. I know where it is.
Right in the mixing bowl.
What you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she just ran right into him.
That's right. Well, feel better, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not going to pick on you today, and Rob's not going to pick on you.
Yeah, Rob tried to.
Him to.
No, I'm going to try to grow accustomed to this new look. I think it looks good.
And I'll grow accustomed to your no undershirt look.
Oh, that line would have carried.
I bumbled. All right, I'm out.
All right.
It was a good effort.
Rosa.
Yep. There he goes.
You can have that. Don't worry about it.
I have one.
Hey, yeah. What's
I
up with the hair? There's
say.
A lot of hair.
Yeah.
That's not the same Rofo. That's not the same Rofo.
He's
that
shook
is
up.
Not the same Rofo.
He doesn't seem himself.
He shook up. Hey, can you please put away that hair? There's so much chest hair. Button the other button.
I think I'll undo a button.
Yeah, I can see it from here.
Oh, my
here.
God.
I can see
what
it
What do you think of
here.
It now, huh?
Oh.
God.
Hey, we got guests. That's gross.
Hey,
cover that up in the family show.
Hey, do me a favor, if you would, Matt. Go ahead and get me a medallion.
Got it.
That is so nasty.
That is, all right, that is 1983.
Thank you.
So,
my dad.
So horrible. Hey, do we have to break?
We should break now, and I think we'll time in. We'll time just right. We'll start the show right now.
All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we will talk to Colin Mockery right after this.
Best of the Mike O'Mara Show, moving on. We set it up in the last break. Colin Mockery, one of the most funny people on earth, and does something that I am in awe of. He is an improviser. And we talk to him about his time on Whose Line Is It Anyway? We talk about his tour, and we talk about some great Canadian people that he's had a chance to work with. I know he's from Canada. Boo. But he's a great guy. So check out our conversation with Colin Mockery on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Colin Mockery from Whose Line Is It Anyway? What a great show that was.
I think we're ready to go.
Yeah, he's good, actually on the line. Thank Woo! You, Colin, for your patience.
All right. Colin Mockery, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Colin, I consider having this is Mike. We've got Rob and Oscar here on the Mike O'Mara Show. When Rob booked you on the show, I thought, I've got this resource here right now. And then my brain started exploding because I love improvisational comedy. It's a lot of fun. And I said to myself, maybe I'll just throw something at you like right out of the gate. But then I said, no, I didn't know whether you get that all the time. And then what I'm doing right now is kind of explaining myself, and that makes it even worse. And, you're this legend of improvisational comedy. Everybody knows you from Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I'm going to lay this out there for everybody to analyze it, Colin. I was going to introduce you, not as Colin Mockery, but I was going to say, you know, we lost one of the great thinkers of the world, Stephen Hawking, a couple of weeks ago. We've got his less intelligent brother here, and I was just going to let you go. And I didn't, I mean, that was 5 o'clock in the morning. Maybe I was up too early thinking about
maybe.
That. But maybe. Yeah, maybe. But it's good to have you on the show, and Rob Spiewak is thrilled. I am thrilled.
Yes.
And welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, Colin Mockery.
Well, thank you. I wish I had a chance to work up the Stephen Hawking's dumber brother.
idea.
Why don't I believe you? Anyway, it's...
No, it's so true.
I just
not all the audience suggestions can be winners.
I know.
That was actually quite good.
Thank you.
Oh,
I appreciate
that's
it.
Sincere. That's
I, you
like
know,
that.
I would be the person that would. By the way, the name of the show that you're touring in is Scared Scriptless. One of the longest running comedy tours in history, with your Who's Line castmate Brad Sherwood, and you're traveling the country currently in that show. Correct.
That is correct. Yeah, we've been doing that for 16 years. It's managed to get us all around North America and India and Australia.
That's amazing. And, you know, when I read your bio and I saw here that you received the first Candy Award, and that is presented by the great John Candy's Kids, honoring legendary Canadian comics. And by the way, if you haven't paid attention, there are many of them.
Yeah.
But you were the male recipient. Andrea Martin was the female. That had to be incredible. Just with that name on that award, that had to be gratifying, I would imagine.
Well, it's insane. It really is. I mean, SCTV was. When I was growing up, that was my show. That was the show that inspired me in comedy and inspired me as a Canadian. And to get it with Andrea was also lovely. I've been very fortunate, and I've gotten to know all the SCTV people quite well over the years. So it's always lovely seeing them. They're just not only comedy heroes, but they're also lovely people, too.
They say so. Everyone has a kind word and just the highest praise always for John Candy, but that's in the States. He has a more legendary, almost heroic status in Canada, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he owned the football team in Toronto for a while. He was very, he'd host all the Canadian award shows. He was a very big presence in Canada and was always very supportive of young talent coming up. And stories just spread like wildfire about how lovely he was. He just was a lovely human being who loved to laugh and have fun.
So good to hear.
You know, when you talk about, Colin, when you talk about comedy and you talk about improvisation, and improvisational comedy theater has been around for so long, but you hear often stories about movies and television shows and when they get the best stuff where the actors just went wild and they riffed on it. Not everybody can do it. But I still, when I hear you going out on that stage with your tour every single night, working without a net, the question that would lend itself is, it's got to be something that is incredibly gratifying if you're good at it. But if you ain't good at it, I would imagine it would be terrifying. And you've been doing it for forever. What's the key to it? What's the magic? What do you have to have? Is it something that you can't describe?
It's that something I can't describe.
Don't give me a pain in the ass. I'm trying to earn my living here, Colin.
It's it is amazing. The fact that I'm able to do what I love and make... This was not a job when I was growing up. No one ever said, I'm going to be an improviser, because it just didn't happen. But there is something... it's so addictive. It's... when we walk on stage and we're in front of this audience who are cheering wildly, and we don't have a show for them, it's pretty exciting. Using your partner and using that audience to come up with a show that, after 2.5 hours, they go, well, that was fun.
2.5 hours. I would be exhausted.
Are there any bits or sort of bits of business that find themselves from show to show, or is it fresh every night? I would think something.
Great
if
question.
A joke works, you would have to want to use it again
or incorporate it into
yeah,
another bit.
Something, yeah.
Think. That assumes we remember stuff. There is basically one of the beautiful things about improv is once you've done the scene, it is gone. Because you're on to the next thing. You're constantly in survival mode. So it's like, oh, I survived that scene, now into the next one. There have been times where I've been flipping through the channel and I'll see a Who's Line, and I'm watching myself going, I didn't do this. I don't remember any of this at all. But I think there are some times, I don't think we consciously do it, but there are some times you get a sort of a setup line that was probably similar to something you've done before, and you there's that moment where you go, oh, do I go with the same joke? Well, I've got nothing else, so yeah. But it's very rare. Brad and I spend most of our time trying to come up with ways to get suggestions we never had before, so we'll end up doing scenes that has no relation to anything else we've ever done.
So the challenge is to actually work it that so you can create the games that the audience plays to give you fresh ideas. That's the big challenge. The actual performing at that moment is going to happen when you guys are on stage.
Yeah. Getting the audience amazing. To give you something that isn't gynecologist or proctologist.
Right.
and I've often thought, okay, really? You want to see a sound effect scene about a proctologist? All right, here we go. Who would be the first to turn on us, I wonder?
And you actually bring audience members on stage during the show, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say probably for about 80% of the show, we have audience members on stage.
Is that fun or is that a challenge?
How much do you want to be part of that, Rob? How much do you want to be on that stage?
That would be so much fun. But does it prove a challenge sometimes?
Sometimes. Because sometimes people come up on stage with sort of their own agenda to think for somehow this is their big break. And somehow, oh, there's a Hollywood producer in the back row who's going to go, that kid who just improvised one word, I want them. it doesn't happen.
I'm reading your bio here. So born in Scotland, you became the comedy career in Canada, and then this incredible fame with Whose Line Is It Anyway in the United States. You're all over the place. What country is home now? Do you go back up to Canada?
Yeah, I'm in Toronto right now. I'll be here for a little while, and then, yeah, I go back and forth. I love the winters in Canada because I like that numb feeling.
I was going to say that.
You mentioned that you do so much traveling and you've played India and Australia. Obviously, you're all over the United States and Canada. How do the audience differ from country to country? Do you find that certain styles of comedy don't play, say, in Australia that would in India?
When we went to India, we were a little nervous because we thought, this is an incredibly different culture from the North right. American culture. Will they right. get anything? And for our first suggestion, we got fart. We immediately thought, oh, okay, it's fine.
Everything will be okay.
It was. I think because when we improvise, it's mostly goofy. So, there's not a lot of, political reference or whatever. It's just goofy, and I think goofy is international. So the audience don't really change from country to country. Although we were told after we finished our tour in India, someone said, oh, yeah, never make fun of Gandhi or they'll stone you. And I thought, wow, that could have come out in the first show, I think.
Wow. Don't make fun of Gandhi. You'll be taken outside.
Yeah. Do you and ever have Stephen Hawking's brother, too? That was
weird. Remember that one. You know what? If you get that from an audience, you know there's somebody brilliant out there. That would be it's the thing about improvisational comedy is that I love is collaborative. And yeah. I've been to, my daughter's done it in college. I've been to New York and watched improvisational theater troupes. And that is, you got a gang up there. You talk about Second City TV. It's it's a troupe of actors. Yeah. But you are working. This is what I wanted to ask you about as far as the degree of difficulty. It's just you and it's Brad Sherwood. And even with Whose Line Is It Anyway, you had a gang of people up there. Does that pose more challenges to just you and one other guy? You've been doing
it's
a long
show.
Time, so obviously you figured it out.
Yeah, it's and I think that's part of the reason Brad and I wanted to do it. It did challenge us. We can't take any time off. We're in every scene. And to be truthful, the other guys on Whose Line hacks. and, they kind of held us back. So
the tall guy.
Away from that.
That is awesome.
Do you ever go in and have drunks come up on stage when you're doing it? I mean, you've done it for so many years.
Yeah.
I would imagine you're
going to handle some
every situation.
There have been times. There have been some bad choices. where you pick someone up, and it's not till you're up you realize, oh my God, they're high on meth or something. I actually once picked a deaf person. person to do sound effects for us.
Oh no!
And we had a legally blind person move one of us in moving bodies. So just don't never think that I may not pick you.
And do the Canadian audiences love it as much as the U.S. audience? Because I mean, I'm never aware. I mean, it's kind of like an extension. I travel a lot in Canada as well. Do they? And you have so many great comedians that come out of Canada. Do you like performing in your home country, or is the fertile ground for this the United States?
I enjoy working in Canada because I get more free stuff from people. You know, they're very supportive of their minor celebrities, so I get some free coffee all the time.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah.
Who are your legends that you that you grew up watching? Who do you love? And it doesn't have to be improvisational, just comedians and actors in general.
Oh God, there were so many. I mean, the guys from SCTV, Monty Python. I was a big Sid Caesar fan. You younger listeners may want to Google as I talk. I was a big fan of, you know, Dick Van Dyke Show, Andy Griffith, anyone who made me laugh. Robin Williams. Again, was great. Having him on the show was a great thrill. And, of course, Stephen Hawking.
Did you ever get a good... Thank you for remembering it. Colin, you're warming my heart by remembering that. That truly is. And, you know, I still...
Not many people know that his younger brother was a stand-up. but he was all physics-based. So get very funny.
That's right. That's it. You know what? It can't leave you. That idea gets in your head. I thought about it since 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah,
it's been on my brain. I just can't help it. I can't help myself.
Already written half a play.
Stephen Hawking's brother by Colin Mochrie.
Half
it's going
play.
To be on Broadway. It's going to be phenomenal. I know it really is with this. Hey, I had to ask you, you got the Candy Award. Did you ever work with or get a chance to meet John Candy while he was alive?
I did get a chance to meet him a long time ago. He was at the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal. And this was way before Who's Line, and my wife and a couple of other people were doing a Second City show there. So he joined us afterwards for dinner, and it was great. There were a lot of festival bigwigs trying to join our table, but he kind of shooed them away and said, you know, we're kind of eating with my friends here. So it was, for all his talent, he had a heart that was that big also.
Mm. Wow.
And the last question I want to ask you about is Whose Line Is It Anyway with Drew Carey and the way that show came about. Drew was kind of the host of that. He looked like he was just enjoying being the MC and watching you guys do your thing. How did that show, come about and become as successful as it did? How did that germinate?
We'd been doing the British show for, I guess, about 8 years at that point. And the producers of the British show always wanted to do an American version because there'd be more money. I wish I could say there was more humanitarian reason, but that was basically it.
It's okay. It's your business. We understand.
So they were shopping it around, and the first company they were with wanted to get rid of the improvisers associated with the show, and they wanted young, good-looking ones. So we all laughed about that for a long time.
I would too. God,
yeah, good
idiots.
Luck. But the producer said, you know what, it kind of works with the funny ugly guys, and
really god producers.
At that point Ryan was on the Drew Carey show, and Drew was a big fan of the show and said to Ryan, hey, you should do an American version. And Ryan said, well, the producer's in town trying to shop it. So he got Drew and the producer together, and Drew was like the biggest star in ABC at that point. So on his right. show, we got the summer show.
Wow.
And it did so well they decided to put us up against Friends and Survivor just because they have no sense.
Because they would do it. They would do it.
We know actually made the money, even though we got killed in the ratings every week, because the show was the cheapest show in the history of television.
Yeah. You know, could have done better if Friends had ugly people on it.
I saw it.
I can hear that being said. Well, David Hawking, brother of Stephen.
David is his name.
I want to say, David, really, we know you're going through an awful lot of trouble right now, and you've been so brave to come on with us and talk about this. And good luck with the stand-up. I hope it works out for you.
Well, I hope so, too. I'm opening tonight, and I'm going to do a special joke in honor of Stephen. It deals with the refraction of light and the speed of quarks. So I'm very excited. I've worked. It's a short 2-hour joke.
Yes!
God bless you, Colin. You've made my day. Thank you. Colin Mockery, you're a good guy. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Have a great day.
There you go.
Thank you.
I had to. He referenced it, and I said, I got to go back to it. I just have to do it. Brother.
Mike, the speed of quartz. The speed of quartz. That was great. Howdy doody. It's me, Rob Spiewak, the guy responsible for selecting the segments you're hearing today. Hope you're having a good time, but secretly, I know you are. Here we pay off the postmortem, if you will, of the Colin Mockery interview, and Mike has a story about a vacuum. It sucks. No, the vacuum... Was that anything? Never mind. Let's move on. It's the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob, did you enjoy that? That was your guy that you wanted
very,
to
very, very cool. He was, even though he's from Canada, I really did enjoy the interview. And I love the fact that one of the first things in his biography is he said, spent his childhood watching way too much TV. And yes. So I feel we have sort of a connection.
Did that motivate
on that.
You?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you had that in common with him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I liked it.
Okay. Andrea Martin, by the way, is the...
we both watch TV. That's come on, man.
Watch more than you. I can beat you there.
Yes, you did. You beat him there. Yeah, you did.
That's
congratulations.
Right. Mm-hmm. But he's catching Andrea up Martin, in other ways, like weight. So, you know, it's very close.
Absolutely. Andrea Martin is the lady from SCTV that was... We played a clip from the Idiots trivia game.
Halfwits.
Where she's like, Halfwits, where she right. comes in and goes, I want that Alex. That's Alex? She's the one. Yeah. She's the one that's on that, and she was brilliant, too.
Best known
and,
as Edith Prickly, I think, as the station manager. Yeah.
I know that, of course, there would be more American comedians and actors working than anybody else in our country, but we get just this amazing influx from Canada and England.
It's also the mecca for entertainment, right?
They come to us here.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say it was strange that even in today's modern society that someone can't get past their own myopic views of what the audience wants to see, and they have recipes for success that work right. in England that they're like, we got to get younger, better looking people.
Yeah.
That's funny. When you've talking about Whose Line Is It Anyway, you can hear a producer going, right? Can we get some good looking kids? You know, can
literally
we get
a show.
By the way, I've always said a good looking comedian, if you get a really, when Joe Piscopo, you know, who was never all that funny to begin with, but when he started doing the where the weightlifting became more important than the stand up, it was just it was not fun. I'm sorry, I feel the same way about that guy that you like, Oscar, but I can't stand. Who's
Mulaney?
The guy that steals every year? No, not John Mulaney, because John Mulaney's kind of a waif.
He's waif.
He's kind of
he's Zoolander.
Fallon.
I think it's
not
Dane
Fallon.
Cook.
Dane Cook.
Dane Cook.
Oh, Dane
Tony
Cook.
With the win. Blech. Tony with Blech. The win. It's Dane Cook. That's it. Dane Cook, who I thought was always too. I don't like that. When you do comedy and you get up on stage and you're not self-deprecating and you don't have great material.
Right.
And you're trying to do bits on the fact that, yeah, this is my girlfriend, man. I have girls.
Too good looking.
To yeah. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of comedians that have done that. You can go to any stand-up show and you'll see a comedian talk about his sex life, and he's not doing it to be funny or self-deprecating. I've watched a lot of stand-up
Dane
shows.
Cook has bad skin.
He's got bad skin?
Yes.
Can you really see it from the stage, though?
Now I like him.
But
he's got pimples.
He's
I like
not
him now.
Perfect.
That's right. Yeah.
He doesn't have abs, though.
My point is, when you see somebody doing that, it's obvious, and it's usually a young comedian, and you can tell when they're trying to do... Even the great Lisa Lampanelli, when she skewed too much talking about her sex life with her big hunky guy, I went to... And she opened for Jeffrey Ross, I think. I think that's the show I went to see, and I'm like... Enough talking about your big bruising guy. Yeah. It was funnier when
she was fatter.
Yeah.
It was funny when she was fat and when she was just talking about being fat. Yeah. People want to go to a comedy show to see somebody flawed.
Right.
And by the way, doing a radio interview with Colin Mockery, I tell you, I mean, if we'd had a camera on him, it would have been a lot fun because that guy got the great face for comedy.
Oh, the greatest face.
You know, he's probably one of the more recognizable guys, and I bet he gets a lot. I didn't want to ask him that hack question. Do you get people asking you to do
the weird thing about him
lounge?
Is he's got you got that weird hairline. So his hair almost frames his funny face.
Yes.
I mean, he's designed for comedy.
He was the best one on that show. And I'm not saying that just because we had him on. But
8 years before the U.S. run, and then
Yeah, and you know, he did
live show.
He did every episode of the Drew Carey one. Everyone.
And stacks of cash.
Yes, and it's cheaper to produce than a game show.
Cash. I want to tell a story about my beautiful wife.
Can we break?
Why?
Because
are we up on a break?
We are. If we break now, we
have to pay the bill.
Yes, we do.
All right.
This ain't no disco.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. Ta-da.
Hold on. I'm getting a message in here.
Oh, something just in?
By Pelican.
Breaking news. By Pelican?
Yes.
Actually in the jaw?
Well, he's in Florida.
That's Does right. he say it's a living?
Yeah, yeah, like on the Flintstones? This job
Please
sucks.
Rob, write stamps, copy to make it easier to read.
Okay. Mm.
Thank you. All right, very good. I just wanted to say that. Please.
Hey, put that back in the Pelican and it'll find its way up here.
I appreciate that. So, Carla, this is how my wife rolls, and this is her life.
They
and
usually the way, roll out, right?
If the wives.
Well, if you look at trending.
Wow.
You set me up. You set me up.
Yeah. That was just so harsh.
Yeah, he's spinning swords like that guy in Raiders of the Lost Ark today.
They usually do.
Hey, but Mike, not always.
Do you realize that come September, Mrs. O'Mara and I will be celebrating not only 9 years of marriage together, but 15 years together as a couple? I think at a certain point I have to get a little credit for that. Yeah. You'll not get, her,
what's
me.
The what's the delta? What's the difference between you and age-wise, you and your wife?
21 years.
That's when you'll get credit.
When we're together 21 years?
Yes.
Oh.
The length of the I might not live for that.
Oh, stop.
But if you do,
no, that's 6 years. I can do You're 6 years.
Oh, good.
That'll be 20 wonderful.
That's not a hard time.
Yeah.
I gotta stop eating nachos, but I can do 6 years.
You know what would add to your life?
I don't mention this, that with iguana mia comes free chips.
Yeah.
You know, and
maybe
we
you need to remove them from your life. Because well, what if they just made it more difficult? What if they raised the price of margaritas? So
I had
it was more of
for
a decision.
Last night.
Not for dinner?
Vegan really?
Yes, for dinner. Yes, for dinner. Yes, yes, for dinner. Carla was I came back from playing golf. Carla wanted to go out because she'd been with a little Crumb Cruncher all day long,
sure.
You know, after school. And she was kind of spent. And so Daddy came in and said, there's some nachos here. I'm like, well, all right, see you later. And I didn't feel like getting up and making anything healthy. So I crunch, chip, cheese.
That's cheese.
Yeah, cheese, and that cheese is not vegan, so shut up with the emails. I don't need that, all right? I don't need that right now.
You know what I love about you as a vegan, Mike? Most vegans
right
are out volunteering the fact
I'm
how vegan they are.
I'm not a vegan.
Yes!
I do not claim
and you're
veganhood.
Not that way. And that's
I do
awesome.
Not claim veganhood anymore. I can't do it. I go off veganism too
You've
often.
You've learned from the lifestyle, and that's the best way to be.
I need to get more vegetarian and vegan in my life, but
right.
I am not a religious vegan, and that's a fact, Jack.
So you will be having an Easter ham?
We're going to be going to an Easter dinner.
Oh, good.
Easter dinner with the little guy. That's all we're doing. No family around here for Easter, so we're just going to a little Easter dinner. And let me just get the Walmart
please
story.
Do
I want to get everybody's
story.
Easter plan because we're going to run out of time. So Carla comes back and she says, look at this vacuum I got. She's been in the market for about 3 weeks for a new vacuum because our vacuum, really, if you continuously vacuum Beluga's hair off the floor, that has a cumulative effect on your nasal passages because it's that turbo funk of pug that just permeates
the
entire vacuum cleaner.
What it is, it's concentrated pug dander, and the air from the vacuum blows through the filter through the pug dander and shoots it into the sky.
It's
where you
horrible.
Inhale it that you can eat.
So, she said, come over here and smell this vacuum cleaner. I said, that's like pug ass. That's what that is. And you can't, there's nothing. All the disinfectants, all that you could put pine tree air fresheners down inside of that thing forever, and it wouldn't take pug funk out of the
pug funk.
Great this. Band. So,
and by the way, I bought that vacuum cleaner. It was a Shark. And it was so Carla goes to the mart. And she's going to pick herself up a Dyson because she heard that they were on sale.
Mm.
And so she sees the sale price that is like $229 or something for this really, really nice vacuum cleaner. And then she sees a sticker on it that says $199. And then she takes it to the counter at Walmart, and the counter rings it up as like $245, $250.
Oh, look out.
Problem.
And she says, no, I saw this. And she said, and she gets a cashier who's really not into being a cashier right. and really not into doing any serious problem solving, which, by the way, consumers, a consumer tip from Mike O'Mara to you. If you find a cashier like that, you have the advantage.
Of course.
They don't care. That never underestimate the apathy of the retail worker, because
that's a win for the customer.
It's a win for the customer. Okay. If they really don't care so much as they might have apathy and they just want to be mean to you, that's right. a different story in itself. But this person just didn't care. And Carla says, I had $1.99. I thought it was $1.99. That's the price.
I don't understand.
I don't understand. And immediately the cashier says, I'll get my manager, and gets the mail manager. 35, 40-ish male manager comes over. Is something wrong here? Dennis comes over. Dennis comes over with his bow tie, and Carla gives him the baby browns and says, she rang it up as $2.40, but the price on it was $2.99. He doesn't go to the scanner. He doesn't go to anything. He says, he looks at Carla with kind of like a little smirk on his face. Mm-hmm. And just ring it up as $1.99. She's in the car. She's out there. Bingo. How often does that happen? Does that happen with a fat ass like me? Never in a million years. No, but she comes up and says, look at my $199 refrigerator. Not my refrigerator, my vacuum cleaner. So that's, and she was thrilled at that.
For guys, they trundle you down the aisle. They look at it.
Right.
They figure it out. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's been placed in the wrong place. Sir?
We're going to need some paperwork
right now, please. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Like, do you not have the extra $50 deadbeat? Like, what's the story?
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
I never get the hookup.
Not like that.
No. Men don't get, but a pretty lady, a pretty girl.
Keep it tight, ladies. Works out for you.
And what's great is it's right next door, the world's greatest convenience store, where she got a vacuum. Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, you
and
can
she
eat.
Said, and they said, we just need your name. Just write your name down here. And she wrote, Mrs. Stephen Hawking.
All righty then. Let's finish this up. Best of the Mike O'Mara Show for Monday, March 4th. 2024. We'll do a double shot here. We'll start out with a nostalgia corner about one of my favorite movies, which will be revealed in the segment. I think you will like it. And also a classic audio vault that, you know, we don't often feature really, really internationally famous people on the audio vault, but this one has one of the big names ever, Jesus Christ. So check it out. Also know that we will be back tomorrow with a brand new Best of the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll have BotMoss all week, including Friday. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you tell your friends, okay? We put some work into this. We want to make them quite fun for you and a wonderful trip down memory lane. And besides, I use a little reverb on my voice. That alone makes it worth tuning in. So we'll start off with this movie that I love so bad on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show. See you tomorrow, everybody.
And I'm going to go on now with Nostalgia Corner.
Right.
Without the knowledge that, because no one's communicating with me, what's going on.
What's wrong? Oh, you mean about the flight?
Yeah, I'd just like to know what's like, what
on the show?
Deal is.
I thought we were killing.
But go ahead.
I we're doing okay.
Rob, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Rob Spiewak. Take
Mike,
it away, Rob.
All it takes is a little confidence.
Yes.
In 1969, Robert Redford and Paul Newman paired up and starred in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Oh, yeah, Bolivia.
It was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Big, big hit. Thanks to their amazing chemistry, Hollywood began immediately to search for a vehicle to reunite them on screen. Mm. They had such a good, you know.
Good chemistry.
Good chemistry, nice pairing. The unlikely source is a book that came out in 1940. It was called The Big Con.
Ooh.
This was a hit novel in 1940, right before World War II.
Not James Con.
No, C-O-N.
Okay.
And this introduced America to the idea of people that were crooked and would cheat people. Mm. And it introduced the words like payoff, shill.
Snake oil sales.
The rag, the convincer. And also, it introduced us to a word called the sting. Now, the sting, according to the parlance of the underworld con world, is the moment that you part a mark from his money. And the movie, The Sting.
It's also used in most recent times as an operation by law enforcement.
Exactly.
To
but this
trap
was
somebody.
It was originally, it was the moment that you could get the money away from the guy.
An STD.
No. That's stung.
That's stung.
Past tense. The Sting came out in 1973. The tagline on the movie was, all it takes is a little confidence. And it was a big, big hit. Somehow, it just hasn't seemed to have the attention anymore. So I want to call attention to it. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I've never seen it.
Probably in my top 10, maybe top 5 of all time. Starting with the cast. I mean, you have Paul Newman, Robert Redford, Robert Shaw before he made Jaws, Charles Durning, Ray Walston, Eileen Brennan, Harold Gould, Dana Elkar, and James Earl Jones's dad, Robert Earl Jones, is in the movie.
Wow.
And the plot is to set everything in motion. A small town grifter in Joliet, Illinois, outside of Chicago, hits a guy up for some money.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't realize the money belongs to a big mob boss in Chicago and spends the rest of the movie trying to seek revenge because the mob boss kills his partner. And it's a great, there's a million plot twists and there's so much fun getting lost in the plot.
Are you rooting for the grifters or mob?
Well, the small town grifter is Robert Redford, so you absolutely root for him. But it is, the plot is almost inconsequential because there's so much going on, you almost can't follow it. It is so much fun. It's set in September 1936. What they did that was so clever, and this is weird to put in perspective. When it came out in 1973, it was 37 years, it was evoking a time 37 years ago. That they were going back 37 years.
To the period piece.
To a period piece, right? Okay. But now it's been 46 years since the movie came out.
Yes.
So it's even more evocative of the 1930s when you watch it. How did they communicate the fact that it was set in that time without going over the top?
What was this bootlegging days?
This was
based in during that time, or was it more gangsters
is,
and Al Capone?
I believe this
gambling.
After this is after the Prohibition.
Okay,
but Al Capone probably still in full effect.
Okay,
they did it with really a beautiful production design. They didn't go black and white, but they did use muted colors, kind of like if you would see on like Saturday Evening Post covers, and so it sort of implied the old stuff. They used old cinematic techniques, like have you ever seen in a movie when instead of a cut, it sort of looks like a page is turning.
Oh, yeah.
That's called a wipe.
Oh.
And that was never used by the time that this movie came out, but they started using that technique again to give the notion of a 1930s movie. Also, because movies were so low budget in the 30s, these detective films and stuff, they didn't use a lot of extras because it was just wasted money. So you'll note in The Sting, not a lot of extras. Whenever times like you see like James Cagney or Edward G. Robinson get shot in a gangster picture, they're always by themselves. That's not because they were trying to make any sort of comment. It's because they didn't want to pay for extras.
They didn't have big budgets.
So no extras. And also at the front of it, one of the neatest things before the movie even starts, the Universal logo, they use the Universal logo from the 1930s.
That's cool.
And so, I mean, it's all
sort of
implied.
I like those little nuances. I know that I usually dog on this segment, but I love the nuances when you see an old school open to an actual theater.
Right away, you will feel like studio. It's like a 1930s
movie. I like
movie.
The one where the plane's supposed to land at 8:30 and you check from your wife who's picking your daughter up and she's still in the cell phone waiting area.
Of course.
That's what I like. That's the part I really f***ing like.
It's a stressful time. It's the holidays.
We're all miserable. Right.
Speaking of cars, if I'm not mistaken, in Cannonball?
Yes, Cannonball Run.
Is the 20th Century Fox, is that the one where they have the car run up?
Yeah, come out off around the logo.
As a kid, I'm like, that's different! That is different!
Very creative. I love it.
How long have you... So The Sting is one of your all-time favorites.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And not the artist, the movie.
And what else is cool is they had a hard time...
That's El Sting.
To give the look of 1930s Chicago had changed so much, they used a great use of location shot, but there's a guy named Albert Whitlock. He's the king of what is known as the matte painting. And what he would do is they'd get a shot of Chicago and then paint out what shouldn't be there and add in what should be there. And you can't tell. It looks like 1930s Chicago. So cool. What you're hearing is the music from The Sting. Marvin Hamlisch single-handedly caused a resurgence in ragtime music in the 70s. Even though this music is from like 1900, it was very evocative of the era. And the music I started with, The Entertainer, actually was a top 10 hit. Based on the music from the movie. Now, there's some great scenes in the movie. Just every time you turn, there's a star. The Sting is actually planned in a whorehouse above a merry-go-round, which is a really great set. And the madam of the whorehouse is Eileen Brennan. This is a scene with her and Charles Durning. Charles Durning, one of the great actors of all time.
Which way are the rooms?
Who told you this guy was in here?
Nobody. I just know what kind of woman he likes. I'm gonna check all the joy houses till I find him.
Well, maybe I could help you if you tell me his name.
I doubt it. Which way are the rooms?
Right through there. But I wouldn't go in there if I were you.
And what are you gonna do? Call the cops?
I don't have to. You'd be busting in on the chief of police just up the hall.
So Robert Shaw is the big-time gangster that they're up against. There is the best card game sequence ever. Won't spoil it for you. But I will not tell you the ending because the ending is a mind blower. Wonderful. If you don't understand it the first time, don't worry. It's just a lot of fun to get there. But here's the setup to the ending. Robert Shaw plays Doyle Lonigan, and he's actually limping in the movie, which they wrote into the script, because he broke his ankle playing handball right before they shot. So they wrote into the character that he had a limp, and that was sort of his thing.
Black Sod, $500,000 to win. Happy hostess. Lucky Dan.
He's placing a horse bet.
Race at Riverside.
Hold on, sir.
There's a jockey.
Get the manager.
What's your problem?
I'm putting $500,000 on Lucky Dan to win third race at Riverside.
Can't lay that off in time. Bet like that could break us.
Not only are you a cheat, you're a gutless cheat as well.
What are the odds?
4-1.
Pick all of it.
He was so loved by the producers of The Sting that the guys that...
Which guy?
Robert Shaw was so loved.
Robert Shaw, right.
That the producers of The Sting, who would go on to produce Jaws, brought him in to play Captain Quint based on the strength
and there's
of
a story
role.
Behind that one, too, where
absolutely.
He wasn't originally the guy for that. So
that is the setup to the climax. You got to see it to believe it. Adjusted for inflation, this is the 19th highest grossing film of all time.
Wow.
And also, the first time it aired on television, this will blow your mind, it aired on network television, it got a 61 share.
Wow.
That means that of all televisions in use, 61% of them were watching
this. Worth going
this.
Back to watch, Rob.
100%.
I'll check 100%.
It won
break.
Seven Academy Awards.
That is a movie that I remember from when I was a youngster, and I think I should, as an adult, I should go back and review it.
Highly recommended, and it's fantastic. Star power, storytelling, surprises, sheer beauty. Watch The Sting. You will be glad you
awesome.
Did. I think today is the last day of preseason baseball. The season starts tomorrow, right?
Season starts tomorrow. MLB, baby.
So some more shenanigans while these preseason games that don't count. A pitcher for the Giants, Derek Holland, did an interview in the dugout yesterday as Kermit the Frog.
The thing is here, we're trying to watch a great game of baseball. There is the Giants. They are up 1-0. It's been an exciting day here. It's a little cold, but that's all right.
That's good, Kermit.
Carry on from here.
Kermit doesn't wear any clothes, so that's a little tough at AT&T Park.
Well, yeah, see, when it's cold out there, well, we'll just keep it at it. There's a lot of kids that are watching.
That's awesome.
I love that. Now, this is a trend I don't get. I guess it's sort of like a white noise thing. It's supposed to be soothing. People record their music that they listen to from another room. So when you play it, it sounds like you're like at a club, but you're in the bathroom. So you can hear the music, but it sounds muffled like it's from another room. Here's an example from YouTube. It's the song Mr. Brightside by The Killers.
Oh, I love
and
the song.
And so when you play it like this, it's supposed to be soothing.
I kind of get it.
Oh, I like this.
But don't
this reminds me of college.
Like there's a party in the other room.
Yeah, I'm hard at work on my algorithm.
It makes me feel uninvited.
Yeah. I had one.
This is the dynamic. He was never invited.
No.
And I was always the one trying to get some last minute homework done while there was a party going on so I could go downstairs.
But to be fair, the weekends, I worked every weekend at Safeway.
I know, produce. So, waka, waka, waka.
By the way, I had that just after the Don and Mike show. I had that technology.
Oh, you did?
It's called a bath towel. I mean, really?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, it'll sound like it's in the next room. Ooh, special. Duh.
You didn't have a sad college life, Rob. Every time you mention that you worked every weekend, it's like you're some sort of knight that we have to.
No, I'm not saying that it was sad. I'm just saying the reason I didn't go to the parties is that I would, you know what? Because the parties would cook up like about 7 o'clock.
No, and parties cook up at 11 in college. You could have left work and gone to a party.
And, you know, I really defer to you. You went to a lot of colleges,
I did.
You know.
Not at Marist College, but when I went to American University, I almost missed one party, but at the last minute, my schedule changed, and I went to it, which kept my record. Everyone. I went to
every
single one. Perfect attendance record.
See, I like good music. I don't want to hear that muffled music. I want to hear, like, Beethoven played on a 3D printer.
Cool.
The exciting thing is that the guy then used his 3D printer to print a life for himself.
Yeah. So, and by the way, that's eventually what we'll be using all our 3D printers for.
For music?
Novelty. Novelty gifts.
Exactly. Novelties.
Tchotchkes?
Yeah. I bought a new 3D printer at Spencer's.
Right, right. This is a novelty gift. Now here's my you get to hear Beethoven, and here's your troll.
Troll doll.
Here's your plastic troll.
All right, Mike, you ready for sexy you ready for sexy time?
I'm ready.
All right, everybody, sexy time. Wolf Blitzer reading the tweet of Stormy Daniels.
Technically, I didn't sleep with the POTUS 12 years ago. There was no sleeping. Ha ha.
Sexy.
Yeah, Wolf. Way to go. And
still a little creepy.
You know, I asked Freights on political persuasions. By the way, we'll have another political persuasions this week. And I asked Freights about Wolf Blitzer. Said he's one of the nicest guys in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely one of the nicest. Took all the reporters out one time to dinner and said, any questions you have about the business, go ahead.
Wow. We tried to make it unseemly. And we couldn't. He's just
couldn't
a nice guy.
Too nice a guy.
All right, we close. It's been a while since we've had one, so let us close with the Mike O'Mara Show 911 call of the week.
Yes.
Jesus Christ broke in to a Pizza Hut.
High point 911, what is your emergency?
Yes, this is Jesus Christ, and I just broke into the Pizza Hut. I broke the window in, and I'm here. Jesus is here now. He's back to earth.
All right, and so you don't work there?
No, I just broke in, had a pizza. I'm Jesus.
And what was your name again?
My name's Jesus.
What's your last name, Jesus?
Christ.
Okay. And what do you look like?
I look like Jesus. What else do I supposed to look like?
Why'd you do that?
Because I'm Jesus. I can do whatever I want.
Where do you live at?
I don't. I'm from heaven.
Did you break a front window?
Yeah, I broke the door window, sir.
And you eat a pizza?
Sir. Yeah. Had a Mountain Dew.
Of course he did.
Happy Easter, did. Everybody. He has risen. That's your magic audio vault.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.